Sports Podcast. I said, welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast with Andy Ruther and Joe Prano. Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast.
Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast. I am your host, Andy Ruther, coming to you live from the Smut Studio in Venice Beach, California, with my co-host, Joey No Chill Prano.
Hello, Andy.
We back.
We are back, indeed.
Did you sleep at all?
Yeah, I got some sleep.
I slept so hard when I got back to my apartment yesterday. I went across the street, continued my reckless food behavior.
Yeah.
Got tacos, and they have a new little stand.
Is that the one by Great White?
Yeah. Dollar tacos.
How was it?
Amazing.
Great.
$2 jambalaya tacos.
Wow.
Got four tacos, ate them, and just racked out for like 2 hours.
So your idea of coming back and having a kale salad went out the window.
I didn't have any food.
I went full veggies.
Did you?
I'm going. I think I might be on like the master cleanse.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I've passed the Big Texan yet. I'm not sure that I birthed it.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like I have 5 pounds of beef still sitting, or 3.5 pounds, whatever I finished, of beef still just sitting there. I was looking at colon cleanses in Venice on the way here.
We were discussing yesterday in the Houston airport. I don't think we saw a vegetable the entire time we were in the state of Texas.
No.
Especially Houston.
Houston. Like, Houston's airport, it's Chick-fil-A, Wendy's. I mean, I know we were in one specific terminal, but, like, they didn't have any.
It was Chick-fil-A,
Wendy's,
Panda Express.
Panda Express.
And a breakfast spot.
Yeah. People are like, well, I'm feeling healthy today. Maybe Panda Express. Get me some of that MSG. Love it. Cleans me out.
Unbelievable. But it was a great trip, man. We crammed a lot into 5 days, and we both got to experience a couple new ballparks, and we also got to go to experience Houston for the first time.
Yeah, I liked Houston a lot. Houston was cool. Houston, a million greater signs than Dallas.
Explain.
I just think it's like a cool city. Like, Dallas just feels so like blah. Dallas doesn't feel like it has any personality other than like being like, we're Dallas. And it's like, well, what does that mean? And they're like, I don't know, we're Dallas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's just nothing about Dallas that like, I've never liked Dallas.
Well, that was my fourth time in Dallas. So I think we both at this point have enough experience going to Dallas. First time in Houston. Dallas is just so spread out.
So spread out, but there's also like I've yet to find the place where it's like, hey, I'm on this street in Dallas.
You know
what I mean? Like, what? Yeah, I don't know. There's nothing about it to me is like even that interesting.
Now, Houston dirt
like,
balls.
Like the idea that the top visit in your city is like where the president got killed.
We're probably missing late night spots. I'm sure there are some. We're old guys.
We've done it a couple times now, though.
True. I want to talk about Houston dirtballs.
Houston, at least there's like, it seems like there's a culture.
Yeah. Houston dirtballs get turnt.
Yeah. The Houston dirtballs were strong.
Very strong.
Yeah.
We went to Minute Maid Park. Shout out to our boy McKay.
Yeah.
Parker. Got us great seats. His stepbrother works for the Astros.
Yeah, that was dope. Just like me, you, Nick, and McKay sitting down the third base side. Sitting in short left, right in front of those Crawford boxes.
And before you know it, dirt balls are rolling in. Yeah. Leo, Froy, come in our seats. We met Zach Bost and his girl Savannah, Keenan. After the game, Dozier. I mean, the DMs were on fire. A lot of dirt balls were wanting to meet up. You got lit.
Yep. Well, look, I'm not the kind of guy who turns down drinks when Dirtballs. You know, that's the thing that the Dirtballs want to do. And you, I think you'd be dead by now if you hadn't become fully sober.
I was thinking about that. I was thinking about that last night on the flight back. Like, if I was still drinking.
And everybody gave you the free drinks and the free shots. Like, and now basically I have to take it for everybody.
You got to go double.
Yeah. So everybody's like, oh, if you were doing it, I just don't think you'd have made it.
Yeah.
At this point. I try to like channel drunk Andy Ruther when the Dirtballs get me all fucked up. I try to just do it the best for both of us, you know, stumbling around, demanding food, the whole thing.
You were on fire, bro. Tuesday night. I took some videos, which I have, of course. Is there any way we can play the audio of you in bed?
No.
You don't want me to play it?
No.
It's just audio.
No.
You don't want me to play it? It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen you do.
I don't even know what I was doing.
You sound like Bill Cosby, but you're also saying to get food. And I said this will be the last I'm putting on the Thust Fund for the trip. But you also went Shakespeare. Dude, let me play it.
Nah, I think we're good.
Come on, Joe. It's just audio.
Nah, it seems like something that the Dirtballs can pay for. You know? Seems like exclusive content.
It's 26 seconds.
Yeah. Seems like exclusive content.
What do the Dirtballs need to do to get that audio?
I don't know. You could decide that. Just doesn't seem like free. That just seems like it should be behind a paywall. You know? If Dirtballs had come, Zach and Keenan and Froy and Makai and Leo and Dizzy, like, those guys all got their fair share.
They got it firsthand.
Of hot Joe Prano action.
Ah, so we're saying.
You know what I mean?
We're saying
they showed up.
Yeah.
They were there. They got it. Now these guys came and they bought all the shots and they got tickets to the game for us and they got us beers at Eighth Wonder Brewery and all that. And now we're just taking their experience and making it available for everybody.
Okay.
Seems reckless.
Okay.
You know?
I'll decide then. I'll figure it out.
Participation trophies now from the Dirty Sports Podcast?
No, you know me. I'm not a fan of that. I feel you. I can see that point of view. More people should have showed up. You were definitely in rare form. One of my favorite highlights was, I don't even know how it started. Was it me? Was it another Dirtball? We all together at that Molly's Pub in Houston started chanting, "Fuck Tiger Woods." And the whole pub is like, why are these guys chanting "Fuck Tiger Woods"?
It's great,
but it was in unison.
Yeah,
and it was a Dirty Sports Dirtball moment.
Yeah, Dirty Sports Dirtball bonding.
Yeah,
everybody was "Fuck Tiger Woods." It was great.
Yeah, I gotta talk about Leo's girlfriend real quick.
No,
hold on. This goes down in Dirty Sports history. I'm not gonna go in too detail. She left him.
I think you should leave it at that. I think you should leave it at that.
Hold on. This is all I want to say.
I think you should clear. Yeah, I don't think you should be talking. I think this should be something that you run by him before. Maybe you can talk about it on next episode.
All I want to say is this. I won't go into too much detail, but this is classic Dirtball. She got mad at him and left him. He lives in College Station, which is about 90 minutes away from Houston. She took his car. He didn't even care. He stayed to hang out with us, and she drove 90 minutes back home. They lived together, and he didn't even care. That's all I want to say. That is some Dirty Sports shit right there, bro.
Yeah.
I'm not going down the full rabbit hole.
I don't think you want to put anybody's relationships, you know, details on
I'm not. All I'm saying is I'm giving him love.
She left him. He stayed.
He stayed. Didn't even care. I said, dude, what's the Uber to get back? He didn't care.
Turned down for never.
I mean, you talk about turned down for never. Houston Dirtballs, and we kept saying it that night, strong.
Turnt. Just a turnt gang. And it was so great because it was like we got to go to an Astros game. Minute Maid Park's incredible. Like just the whole vibe. That's what I'm saying. Like if you're a Dallas Dirtball, like.
We met a couple.
Yeah, we met a couple. And it was fun. But like just in general, like, you know, I'm not knocking the Dallas Dirtballs who did come out. I'm knocking the city of Dallas and the Dallas Dirtballs who might be listening to this who didn't come out, because Houston's a cool, fun city, and then the Dirtballs showed up strong. So it was like double down, you know? The Eighth Wonder Brewery that Keenan suggested before the game was dope.
Yeah.
Even like the walk from there to the ballpark, walking by a bunch of bars, cool graffiti, you know, just seems like it's a town that's got like
personality.
Personality.
Yeah.
Dallas seems like a Texas paint by numbers.
The one knock I will have on Houston, actually the same thing in Dallas, was that the milkshake machine was broken at the Whataburger. I was trying to get you your root beer milkshake again.
Yeah.
Back to back nights, Jack in the Box, then Whataburger.
I mean the our ice cream machine is broken line from fast food restaurants is the greatest lie since I don't know what. Like there's literally two possibilities. Every fucking lazy ass fast food worker doesn't want to work the milkshake machine.
What goes in the milkshake machine that makes it that difficult? Is my question.
Or two, somebody is leaving. Fact, trillions of dollars on the table by not making a milkshake machine for fast food restaurants that doesn't break every 6 hours.
But it only breaks at between midnight
to
5 a.m.
It's the worst. It's the worst. Like, if you don't want – I've worked at a restaurant where we made milkshakes by hand. We made hand milkshakes with, like, a fucking malt machine.
Yeah.
We never claimed the milkshake machine was broken. It's like, if you don't want to work there, don't work there.
Yeah. I know.
But don't provide just half of your shit. Burger machine's broken. Like, what? You're Whataburger.
Yeah.
Offensive.
I know. Very offensive.
Jack in the Box does it. McDonald's does it.
They all do it. Machine's broken. And like I said, it only starts at about midnight.
Yeah.
Machine works fine. If I went to Jack in the Box down the street, 1:22 in the afternoon here, it would work just fine. I feel like we need a DSPN Investigates.
Yeah. Oh, I would love to go fucking deep down. Like, if you're a dirtball and you work at a fast food restaurant or have in the past, like, phone line is open. We need calls about this. Like, when do you shut it down? Why do you shut it down? How often is it really broken? Like, how many times in your days of working in a Whataburger or a McDonald's or a Jack in the Box, was the machine actually broken? And then what happens? Is there a fucking milkshake machine repairman that comes out and fixes this every 6 hours? That seems like a good gig, right? Can I get in the milkshake machine repair business? Seems like you'd be busy for days.
310-359-8365.
I want to hear. I know we have dirtballs who have worked at fast food joints.
Yeah.
I know it.
Yeah. I worked at McDonald's. Did you know that?
No.
I was Hamburglar for kids' parties. I never revealed this.
Is that true?
Yeah.
You were a Hamburglar?
Yeah. I worked at McDonald's for like 5 or 6 months in high school.
Wow.
I put on the outfit. You know, they had a giant playpen.
Yep. Now, there's no mask to the Hamburglar, right? You just wore like the black thing?
No, I wore a whole
head?
Like you go to a sports event?
Yeah.
I put on a whole costume. Now, it wasn't that the whole time. You take it off and you're bringing food to the kids for their parties or whatever. But I was always the guy who went in as Hamburglar.
It's incredible. How often did the milkshake machine break while you were working there?
That's what I'm trying to think. You know, obviously this is 20 plus years ago when I worked at McDonald's. I don't remember it really breaking. I don't remember that being an issue.
Wow. This is like NBA basketball players. The only things that have not improved since the 90s. NBA basketball players and the milkshake machines at fast food restaurants.
Yeah.
Sam Tripoli's like, the milkshake machines from today could never handle the 90s. Kids were coming in there getting milkshakes all day. The hand checking that kids were doing to these milkshake machines. No way they survive.
Yeah. I don't know. But Joe's right. By the way,
that's my official unofficial last Sam Tripoli restaurant or reference on the Dirty Sports Podcast. I've stepped away.
Okay.
I've stepped away from Sam Tripoli. He tried to claim that the Rick Smith, Reggie Miller, like Pacers were some sort of great team that LeBron James couldn't handle. I was like, at this point, you're trolling or you're drunk or you're delusional or you have a heroin addiction. But one thing's for sure, you're fucking lost. So that's it. I'm out. I'll be saying my final piece on Chris Wilde's Clipcast.
Please do.
And that's it.
But I mean, please do, because I agree. And also, don't bother on Twitter with him, because it's the same rabbit hole you don't want to go down. But now, we have been to a lot of stadiums, Joe. I got a DM. I want to bring this up because we're at the point where we can start really ranking, I think, the stadiums we've been to, baseball stadiums. I have been to 13 stadiums. I thought it was 12. I was wrong. I counted. I've been to 13. You've been to 17 ballparks. So you're past the halfway point of 30 teams. And people want to know, like, they're all curious, where do you rank Minute Maid Park? And so I thought we could both discuss this on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to sit down with my list and put it in an order. But I can say this. So as I look at my list, Mets, Yankees, Red Sox, Phillies, Orioles, White Sox, Cubs, Reds, Astros, Rangers, Dodgers, Angels, Giants, Padres, A's, Rockies, Mariners. The top of that class for me is if I was going to put them in group, like elites, greats, goods, you know, bads. I might have to revisit Camden. Camden was my first, you know, Camden was the first retro ballpark.
Yeah.
It set the standard. Maybe having experienced that before experiencing all these other ones that have come since it. But, I mean, you also have to give it a little bit of a boost for doing that.
Sure.
But Camden's up there for me. Minute Maid was incredible. It was up there for me. Giants ballpark up in San Francisco is up there for me. Padres.
See, this is what
Padres Mets are my next group. Padres Mets, Rockies.
Well, let me ask you this, because we've experienced a lot of the same stadiums. As I look on the list, me versus you, basically, I have never done any of the East Coast,
except for the Mets,
which you have on me, and then I have a few of the Midwest on you. Like, where do you compare Petco in San Diego versus Minute Maid in Houston?
I think Petco's in a great stadium class, but I don't think it's an elite stadium.
Yeah, I would give a slight nod.
I think
to Minute Maid.
Yeah, for sure.
San Diego gets helped because great location, great weather. But do you hold that against a team that doesn't play in Southern California?
I think the thing about the Padres and the Mets that give it both a boost is I like stadiums where if you're waiting online for beer or a hot dog, you still see the game. I like open corridor stadiums. Obviously, that's something that has been changed significantly since the older stadiums.
Even Arlington, you know, we just went down to Globe Life Park or whatever the hell it's called.
You got to go through a tunnel to open up to see the game.
I walked around the entire stadium with Nick D'Alessandro, and that was built in 94.
Even Houston doesn't have a super open feel to it when you're in the corridors, but what makes Minute Maid Park special is how small it is because it's this retractable dome. They squeeze everything in. You can see up in the top where they're cutting off rows, where they're cutting off in the angle. Like, it's not a massive stadium. The way those boxes and left push up on the field gives it an extra special vibe. The way that the wall where the train is pushes up onto the field, like, it's very tight in. I actually felt you were like saying like how this blows, you know, Citi Field out of the water and all that. And I was there actually, like, from an actual like stadium construction feel, it's very similar, except Citi Field goes up a ton and out a ton, whereas the wall where Houston is, like, basically on all sides, it's just got walls that, like, make it really tight and compact. And the roof opening and closing is ridiculous. It's just a fantastic ballpark.
That outfield view in Houston, where you're basically hovering over the outfield and the outfielders, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I loved it. And not that I disliked Arlington, where the Rangers play. It's just, it's so big. And I don't know how they've done it all these years with the heat.
Yeah.
You know, we went to Monday night's game, you know, it's 95 to 100 degrees. You're just sweating your nuts off.
Yeah.
I don't know how the players have done it all these years. Played in August and September in that park. It's just too damn hot.
And that we went to that after we recorded the podcast, right? After we recorded the last podcast?
Yeah.
So we were blessed with Adam Hamari umping third base.
Oh, yeah.
And us happened to be having seats on the third base line. It was just kismet. So we tried to thoroughly ruin Adam Hamari's life the whole night. We also maybe ruined the lives of a lot of people sitting on our section, but that was...
That was interesting. So from the get-go, there was Adam Hamari sucks and Adam Hamari troll jobs going the entire game.
Yeah.
It took until the eighth inning for someone else to say something.
Yeah.
Some girl was like, I don't think he heard you.
Yeah. Well, it was, I'm glad it didn't start earlier because I really stuck with it. A couple guys got involved.
We met some guys from Nebraska.
We met some guys in Nebraska. Hopefully they figured out how podcasts work and they're listening to this.
Probably not.
They looked like guys who were going to want to fight me if I did it the whole game. So I reached out to them early and I explained, I lied to them and said Adam Hamari sexually assaulted my sister in high school.
I want to just tell from my perspective.
Yeah.
We sit down. We're second row, third base side. You know, halfway between what? Third base and left field. Instantly, Joe wastes no time. He tells these guys that, hey, guys, the whole game, I'm going to be heckling the third base umpire. He sexually assaulted my sister in high school.
Which was a lie. I only hit him because he threw out Noah Syndergaard for missing Chase Utley with a pitch. But I didn't think that these guys from Nebraska, who didn't even seem to be super baseball fans, were really going to jump on board that campaign.
No.
So I knew I had to take it to another level, and I knew having them on my side was going to be helpful.
Now, me, Nick, and your buddy Mark all looked at each other and all started smiling like, wow, Prano went for it. And the minute you said that, they started yelling
at him. They moved to the front row.
Yeah.
They moved from the third row to the front row. They got another guy on board, and we were off and running. Yeah. And then we were getting good. Adam Hamari doesn't return his shopping carts. Adam Hamari's favorite Backstreet Boy is Brian. Just like
What's wrong with Brian, by the way?
Well, he's no one's favorite Backstreet Boy,
who's
right?
Who's your favorite Backstreet Boy?
I mean, I think if you I don't have a favorite Backstreet Boy, but I think the odd man out here, like if you told me your favorite Backstreet Boy was Nick Carter, I'd be like, oh, you like the pretty boy types, you know? If you said your favorite Backstreet Boy was Kevin, I'd be like, oh, the fucking dark, shadowy types.
So you're telling me you think Brian goes above Howie? Or I'm sorry, is worse than Howie?
I mean, I'm not ranking them, but it seems like whose favorite, you know? Like, who's going into an ice cream stand and being like, I just want vanilla in a cup?
Okay.
You know?
Oh, and I forgot Mitch was there. Jesus, I totally forgot Mitch.
Oh, yeah.
How am I forgetting? Sorry, Mitch. So we were all on board.
Yeah.
And where did we get those amazing tickets?
Adam Hamari thinks his CVS receipt should be longer. That was a good one.
Yeah. It was a 100 emoji.
We got the Angels third baseman laughing at Hamari.
We did.
It was pretty great. Pretty great time had by all.
So it was me, you, Mitch, Nick, your buddy Mark, and we all got our tickets on SeatGeek.
SeatGeek.
That's right. Second row, third baseline.
$15 a ticket.
We're not even exaggerating.
Yeah.
Mitch got them. Shout out to Maniacal Mitch. He's like, I'm going to use the code. I'm here in the States. Obviously, they don't have baseball in Australia. So we use the code. We use the SeatGeek $10 off code, what, 2 hours before the game started?
Yeah.
Not even. And we got to our seats. And like I said, it's a pretty ballpark. And I'm sure that the new one will be even better with the roof. But Dirtballs, if you haven't used SeatGeek, I don't know what you're waiting on. Because SeatGeek will even give you $10 off on your first SeatGeek purchase. All you need to do is use our promo code. Download the SeatGeek app today and use promo code DIRTY. That's DIRTY for $10 off on your first purchase. That's promo code DIRTY for $10 off on your first purchase. And SeatGeek's been great. It's been able to get Joe and I to a combined 30 ballparks.
Yeah.
And if you use that code, send me a screenshot and I will send you 2 koozies in the mail.
Yeah, I'm looking at our list of ballparks again just because of the DM that you got. And yeah,
do you want to hear my bottom ones?
Yeah, sure.
My bottom ones of the third. So this is the 13 I've been to real quick. Astros, Rangers, Angels, Reds, Cardinals, Cubs, White Sox, Dodgers, Giants, Mets, Indians, Padres, Diamondbacks.
Can I guess your three bottom?
Reds.
Is Reds on your three bottom?
Yeah.
White Sox? See, to me, I would put the Reds, the White Sox, the Phillies in a class of ballparks where, like, they did the new retro thing, but there's nothing interesting about them.
Yeah.
What's interesting? What stood out to you about the White Sox ballpark?
Nothing in particular.
Same as Reds. Like, even at the Reds game, like, not like they've got the whole, like, white situation out in the outfield, but it's like, that's okay, you know?
They got the smokestack, but yeah.
Yeah.
I put Angels up there, to be honest. I think Angel Stadium is lame.
Yeah, well, Angel Stadium is old.
That whole
lame
thing that they're doing with the rocks and the water.
No, and honestly, it's not even the Angels' fault. It's just like they're trying, but
I'd probably put those three for me, the ones I've been to. I'd put Angels, Reds, White Sox. I got to go to St. Louis again. You know, I've been to, I don't know, I think I've only been to maybe two games in the new park, went to a bunch in the old one. But I'll be honest, I think St. Louis is kind of like that Reds thing where you're like, okay, you got a team with a ton of history. They've always been good. It's kind of cookie cutter.
Yeah, I haven't been to St. Louis. Obviously, you've got the Red Sox and the Cubs. Those stadiums are old, and you know the history is what makes them special. I enjoy going to Dodgers Stadium more than I enjoy going to Red Sox or Wrigley, to Fenway or Wrigley. I prefer Dodger Stadium as far as old stadiums go. At least it's open. It's pretty. It's just got a better vibe, in my opinion. But obviously, those three all come with history. Oakland Athletics Ballpark is the worst ballpark I've probably ever been to.
Yeah.
Mariners and Rockies are, to me, in that sort of middle group. It's like, I like both of those ballparks a lot. I like how they fit into their cities. But, like, I'm not, like, I don't have, like, a boner for them. Maybe, like, Mariners, Rockies, Padres. Obviously, I have, you know, I'm a Mets fan, and I have a little bit of bias. But I do think what makes the Mets ballpark interesting in terms of being a sort of a, maybe a little bit of a cookie cutter new old ballpark is the everything that happens in that right field, whether it be the Pepsi porch, now the Coca-Cola porch. You've got the bullpens that everything is sitting on top of that are nice, and you have your seats that are under there. Then you have the big throwback to Shea Stadium right field board, which mirrors on the other side. I think a lot of people who haven't gone to the ballpark and just see it on TV don't know. And me, that's the single best aspect of Citi Field, is they mirror that thing on the other side, and they have a big – everything's New York out there. New York beer stands, Shake Shack, New York barbecue, New York pizza, New York food. So all of that sets like a really great area for like saying, hey, we're going to hang here and watch a game. It overlooks the center field, right field area. I think that's what sets, you know, Citi Field apart. And then Yankee Stadium. Well, honestly, trashiest new stadium there is. That is not a New York bias. I loved old Yankee Stadium. The problem with the new Yankee Stadium is they tried to make it look like old Yankee Stadium, which is cool, but you use none of the modernizations architecturally or how people enjoy watching baseball. You just recreate. Should just kept your old fucking stadium. Be Fenway, be Wrigley. It's Yankee Stadium. Put $10 billion into a remodel and just build from the same footprint. But to like build a new stadium that doesn't improve upon anything we've learned about stadiums,
yeah,
is reckless and stupid. So that's my list. Elites on my list: Baltimore, San Francisco, Astros. Those are the tops.
Yeah. Elites on my
Giants.
I'd put Dodgers on my elite. I love Dodger games, man. It sucks to get there. Parking's a nightmare to leave. But like you said, I think the atmosphere, the history, looking out at Chavez Ravine in the background, it's a gorgeous park to see a game at.
Yeah.
But we got more to go, Prano. I think this kind of whet our appetite a little for future tours.
I've looked at my list. I've obviously not touched Florida, and I haven't touched Atlanta. But otherwise, it's this fucking loop in the middle. It's just
quality of life territory.
The Clevelands, the Minnesotas, the Milwaukees, the St. Louis,
Pittsburgh,
the Kansas City, the Pittsburgh. Yeah, the old quality of life belt.
We should call it the. We should do that next
quality
summer.
Quality of life baseball tour.
The quality of life baseball tour.
We hit an Applebee's and a stadium in every city. 3 for 20, 2 for 20, whatever it is. How many do you get for 20 at Applebee's?
I think it's 2 for 20.
2 for 20 in a stadium.
Yeah.
You know? Quality of life.
That'd be a great sponsorship.
Yeah.
At least at Applebee's you can get a goddamn salad.
If you say so.
I'm assuming.
I mean, I'm assuming you can.
Texas was fun, though, guys. Again, we can't thank everybody enough who showed up from Amarillo down to Houston. It was a nonstop fun 5 days, and I really want to give a special shout-out to Nick D'Alessandro for working his ass off. He filmed everything. He's still editing. He's got a bunch of videos that are going to be coming out this week, and I want him out here. I really do. I'm making that push. Tug and I have been on him.
I think... You know, and I think the dance with Nick of getting him out here is part of the fun. So I think he was having such a great time, and he was like, oh, this is it. I'm going to do it. That I had to make it a little bit more interesting. Last night, just get hammered, cause a scene, cause a ruckus, keep him out a little too late, put the pedal to the metal, and now he's like, I don't know if I can go on a ballpark tour with these guys again. We only did 3 stadiums.
Yeah.
Prano lost it at the end.
He saw it's lit, fam, Prano.
Yeah.
For sure. But it was a great trip, and like I said, thanks to everyone.
A shout out to the Knicks. The Nick Yardley, Nick D'Alessandro duo on this just like brought the flames.
Yeah. And Joe and I have said after this experience we had in Amarillo with the Sod Poodles, we're not against doing a minor league tour. Because it's just a different experience when you go to a minor league ballpark. Now, I think we were lucky in the fact that the people of Amarillo really back their team. They sell out all their games. They have a great, loyal following. And I'm sure a lot of minor league teams don't have that. But, hell, man, if people want to invite us, we'll show up.
For sure.
Let's talk some NFL, Prano.
Let's do it. Did you watch Hard Knocks last night?
I did. Did you?
I did.
Okay, you did. I wasn't going to think you had time.
I did. I watched Hard Knocks. Worst season of Hard Knocks I've ever seen.
It's up there, man.
Most boring. Nothing. Literally nothing happens. Gruden hasn't fucking cut a single person. They cut one guy. They didn't even show it. He's not cutting anybody. Basically, it's the John Gruden show. It's like the 5 minutes you get of Gruden just Grudening, and they have Frank Caliendo this week doing a Gruden impression.
I'm not going to lie. That as your fucking co-host on this show, that crushed me. Seeing Caliendo do not only Gruden, but his Stephen A. Smith was not good.
No. His Stephen A. Smith is atrocious.
Not good at all.
His Gruden is great.
His Gruden is impeccable. His John Madden is amazing. But
his Barkley, suspect. His Stephen A. Smith, one of the worst things I've ever seen.
I was like, get Joe Prano in there.
This is why I don't do guys I can't do. That's why like you'll be like, hey, you should do so-and-so. I don't do fucking, you know, I don't do Madden. Boom! Like, that's it. That's all I got. Tough acting, ton acting. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's why you don't do that shit.
Yeah, man. I don't know why they're writing the storyline this way. There's a few players. Take Vontaze Burfict. They're not even going to mention.
But let's talk about this. Who is a storyline in the show?
It's Antonio Brown.
And like, name another player. You're like, oh, I wonder if that. Like, they introduced Waller last night.
They introduced Waller and Luke Wilson.
Yeah, it's like a tight end bonanza last night. But, like, there's no story at all. It's just Gruden for 5 minutes up front. And, like, he's not even that interesting. I mean, Gruden's a great guy.
Yeah.
You got to love Gruden. He just seems like a good dude. He seems like a guy you'd want to play for. He seems like he's a fun coach. He seems like he really loves it. He loves being out there. He's definitely a player's coach. He likes, you know, chopping it up with the guys and whatever. But, like, that's not that interesting. And Nothing's happening on the whole show.
Well,
I don't care about the Glennon Peterman fucking.
Yeah, that bores me.
Thing.
That bores me.
Because guys, they're both trash. Like that's essentially the storyline. Is Gruden's like all I think about whenever I watch that fucking storyline is like, man, Colin Kaepernick would really kick up the Hard Knocks, you know, fucking drama, right? Why didn't they bring him in for Hard Knocks? And it's Antonio Brown. He's there. He's not there. He's there. He's not there. It's the helmet. It's the feet. It's the helmet.
But
it's
even
the feet.
That's not that interesting. And the fact that John Gruden.
Because no one gives a shit.
The fact that John Gruden in the show clearly has
Antonio
AB's
Brown
back.
Yeah.
Like he has his back 100%.
Yeah.
There's no wavering at all. So there's really no storyline.
And then the Mike Mayock, like clip we get is literally the clip from SportsCenter. Like, I already saw him say this. Hard Knocks isn't getting any extra access with, like, talking to the GM. Like, hey, you just said he's either in or he's out. What's happening? Like, it's a terrible
Well, the
season.
Reason I bring up Vontaze Burfict, he literally killed Antonio Brown in the 2015 NFL playoffs.
Yeah.
Now they're teammates. You're not even going to mention that through three episodes?
Yeah.
At least try to create some drama. They're trying to turn Richie Incognito into British royalty.
Yeah.
He's all prim and proper.
It's terrible.
Walking in good day, sir.
It's terrible.
It's not good, man. Which sucks because on paper.
Everybody was like, oh, the Raiders.
They're not even talking about them moving to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
They're not even talking about their last season in Oakland.
Hard Knocks should have. HBO should have. Offered to pay Marshawn Lynch's salary for the year and be like, guys, we know you're not going to play him. We know it doesn't matter. Like, just put him on the team. We'll give you $5 million if you have Marshawn Lynch on the roster just for training camp.
Yeah. It's been pretty boring.
It's been atrocious. It's the worst season of Hard Knocks that I can remember.
You know how I know it's bad? Out of two of the three episodes, I've started, stopped to then finish the next night or later that night. I can't get through 60 straight minutes.
Yeah.
Because I'm too bored.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe a microcosm of how they're going to be as a team.
You think they're going to be what? Boring?
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, man. I still think Antonio Brown, I'm still doubling down on him having a good year. I got that bet with Nick D'Alessandro.
Yeah.
Him and Juju. I'd be willing to bet he has more yards than your boy Odell Beckham Jr. too.
Well, there's also that he will be the one. He'll be their guy.
That's what I'm saying.
They have Renfro. He'll be their guy. But I don't know. That's an interesting bet too. I mean, Landry's a guy who just gets – he has the most receptions ever in 5 years. So there, you know, he's going to get fed the ball a little bit too. It's a good question.
Well, that's a good segue to talk Baker Mayfield and the Browns.
Yeah.
I just don't like him. I was losing my mind the other day in Houston after his latest comments about Daniel Jones. I don't know how many times we're going to say this. And it's amazing because Baker has so many defenders. Name another quarterback.
But now, I mean, you were obviously proven wrong, but you were Mr. Manziel. You were on the Manziel train. He was
right,
doing.
I was on the Manziel train in 2014, dude.
Right. I'm saying when he was coming to the league and talking a bunch of shit and playing for the Browns.
I was off the Manziel train instantly when he started playing. I'm saying
I guess my point is you were on the train of like loudmouth QB.
5 years ago, I was on the train of one guy that I liked a lot in college.
But you don't dislike Baker Mayfield's game. You dislike his attitude.
His game is all right, but I think this is ultimately – I've said it, and I'll say it again. Name me – not even just like an elite quarterback. Name me any quarterbacks who are caring this much about a Colin Cowherd, about Instagram, about Twitter. Dude, they don't. I actually went through and I looked today. I started looking at what you would call top 15 quarterbacks. None of them are doing that. Russell Wilson's busy quoting, doing Jesus tweets. you know, on par. Same for like Derek Carr. It's like you have those guys who I think we decided, which I thought was great in Texas. If you're a Jesus loving quarterback, you're so boring. Right?
Yeah, I mean they're the opposite end of the thing.
The Derek Carrs, the Russell Wilsons, those type of guys. But my point is this with Baker Mayfield. He's got this, I got a chip. Dude, you were the number one pick.
Right.
You weren't Tom Brady drafted in the sixth round.
Yeah.
You weren't Aaron Rodgers who sat in the green room looking like an asshole until he's picked by the Packers.
Yeah, it's weird that that's his thing, like that he's got something
me
to prove.
Me against the world. You were picked one.
Yeah, one. First overall. And they
no one believes in me. Well, you were picked one, so apparently people do.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I don't like Baker Mayfield. And honestly, the Daniel Jones thing, it's like it's a perfect example of Baker Mayfield. It's like talked shit, then it became a thing, then you back down. It's like the Baker Mayfield news cycle of like say something, regret saying it, blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, it's taken out of context. Well, here's the thing. You brought up Daniel Jones. So that's not taken out of context. What you said about him taken out of context, whatever, that's fine. But you did for another guy exactly what you're claiming, even though you're one, people are doing with you, which is like they didn't believe. Like, why are you saying his name? Like, why did he come out? And it's like you can say the quote that you made after it came out of context, but you brought him up in an interview about you. You brought up the Giants quarterback and who they drafted and the fact that winning was in there and the whole – like it's just
– I want to talk about the winning thing. Daniel Jones went 17-19 at Duke, a historically terrible football program. You went 34-6 at Oklahoma. Big fucking deal, dude. No offense to Baker. I want to see what all the quarterbacks before you did. All I'm saying is this. You played at a great football program. He played at Duke. And newsflash to Baker, you didn't win anything.
I mean, and that's the thing. Like, the winning didn't help Rex Grossman or Warfel or Josh Heupel or fucking think about all the guys who came from the whatever SEC school.
Gino Toretta.
Gino Toretta, Ken Dorsey, Leinart. Like, think about all the guys. Vince Young. All the people that play for these schools that just have these runs of dominance, how did it work out? I have said it's the Joe Prano theory on quarterbacks. I want a guy who had adversity at the college level. I want a guy who played in a big conference but not on one of the best schools and had to deal with that. I like that Drew Brees got beat up by fucking Michigan and Ohio State and Notre Dame and all these teams that are like – going after Purdue. I like that fucking, you know, Eli Manning was on a doormat SEC team because it's like, yo, he had to go out there and survive Florida and survive Alabama and survive all these fucking teams.
Aaron Rodgers, Cal.
Yeah, exactly. Just a Pac-12 doormat.
Guess who else had a losing record, by the way, during their college career at Stanford?
Yeah.
John Elway. John Elway had a losing record at Stanford. So, like, this
But just look at the – name me the great Ohio State quarterbacks. Name me the great SC quarterbacks. Name me the great Florida quarterbacks. Name me the great Alabama quarterbacks. Name me the name me a great quarterback in the last 20 years from a massive winning organization.
Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
Trying to think who else.
First of all, have we?
Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck.
He didn't win a title, but they were like top five a lot.
And is there some portion of both of those guys that are sort of responsible for their programs being good?
What do you mean?
Like, how good was Stanford before Andrew Luck, and how good has Stanford been after Andrew Luck? How good was Tennessee before Peyton Manning for 10 years and after Peyton Manning for 10 years?
They won a title after he left with T. Martin.
Right, and Clemson won a title with the other kid. But, like, there's some part of it where it's like those guys are sort of the face of those schools' programs. For, like, Andrew Luck is Mr. Stanford. Andrew Luck is the reason Stanford is on the map since John Elway, essentially.
Yeah.
Right? And then that leads to the, you know, McCaffrey's coming. That, like, Deshaun Watson being fucking incredible leads to guys going there. Like, also, is Deshaun Watson an elite NFL quarterback?
He needs to stay healthy.
Yeah. I'm just saying, we have Ohio State. We have 2 decades of Ohio State. Where's the great quarterback? Where's the great SC quarterback? Where's the great Florida? Where's the great Alabama? Can you name 3 Alabama quarterbacks from this run?
AJ McCarron.
Yep.
Greg McElroy. Who I think calls games now. Oh my God, this is bad. In the last 10 years. AJ McCarron, Greg McElroy, I think that's about 5 or 6 years with the starters. Sims, the black dude who won a title. I don't think he made it to the Tua, who's still there.
Hurts.
Jalen Hurts, who's now he transferred. Yeah, I mean they don't pan out in the NFL, that's for sure. My thing about Baker Mayfield is, why is he even mentioning Daniel Jones' name?
Because he just wants headlines. He always has, he always will. He demands them.
But you already...
If people stop talking...
But he's gonna...
And honestly, that's something that's coming from the Browns right now. The Odell did the fucking... The Odell thing that the New York sent me there to die. Like, look, do I think that the front office of the New York Giants is killing the game lately? No. But they're not so dumb as to think that Cleveland is a... Like, they're aware of Cleveland's defense. They're aware that Cleveland has Baker Mayfield and Landry and the fucking,
And Njoku.
Nobody is going like, we're sending him to this cesspool.
If they wanted the whole Odell Beckham Jr. comments about sent to Cleveland to die, if they want him to die, they send him to Miami. You know, they send him to a team that is going nowhere for a minute.
My mom just sent me a weird message. Call me, you're on NFL Live. What?
Did they tap into the Dirty Sports YouTube?
I don't know.
I hate to say it, but I want to see him fail. I don't normally want to see players fail, but he just something about him just gets under my skin. And
I feel like this is, I hate to bring it up again. But I feel like this is like Manziel backlash. I feel like you got burned so hard with Manziel, you're like, I'm not doing this again. You're like, Manziel 2, I'm getting off the train real early on Manziel 2. I think Baker Mayfield's a significantly better quarterback than Johnny Manziel. I hated Manziel coming out of college.
I'm not denying that. Baker had a great rookie year. I'm not denying that. I just don't get this, again, this mentality of like, be against the world. Dude, you were taking 1 overall and you had a good year. Just shut the fuck up. Plain and simple. Like, I don't know, man. But I was looking at the YouTube comment section. Maybe she's talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Oh. Probably, right?
Yeah. Since you look...
Is it possible that my mom confused Aaron Rodgers in the mustache for me?
I saw a new conspiracy. We've never seen Joe Prano and Aaron Rodgers in the same room at the same time. Is Joe Prano Aaron Rodgers, vice versa?
People have seen me and Aaron Rodgers in the same room at the same time.
Oh, yeah. You went to the Super Bowl party.
No, I was. He played in the golf tournament the last couple of years. In fact, I think there's video of me from this year's golf tournament, me taking video of Aaron Rodgers teeing off.
Okay, so we have visual evidence.
Yeah. So I would love the claim to be Aaron Rodgers, but sadly, I think it's actually worse. I think Aaron Rodgers just stealing my essence. Like, bro, get your own personality.
Yeah.
Jeez, guy. Or at least throw me a couple bucks. I'm over here fucking starving. And and meanwhile, you're racking up headlines by being like, hey, I'm going to dress like Joe Prano today. Set the world on fire. Like, bro, throw me a fucking bone.
It is a shame that the day he dressed in that outfit was the day we were leaving Texas.
Yeah.
My one buddy who listens to the show texted me today. He said, you need to get Prano in that exact same outfit. And I thought, man, if we were still in Texas, how easy would that have been to just go shopping?
Yeah.
Because then we could have had...
You already had the bolo tie.
Yeah. We could have had Lil Tex and Big Tex. I'm going to drop out that album, bro. So apparently Zeke was offered a contract.
Okay.
I don't know why this isn't in the news. Maybe because it's coming from Ed Warder. Talk about a cheddar dick. He's like the definition of cheddar dick. He tweeted today, the most recent offer would make him the second highest paid running back in the National Football League behind Gurley and Le'Veon Bell. He'd be in between them. So Gurley's making $14.4 million on average, and Le'Veon Bell is making $13.1 million. And the rumor is he was offered something in between those two. What say you, Joe Prano, on that?
I think that both of those guys are better than Ezekiel Elliott. I think Saquon's better than Ezekiel Elliott. Zeke's a great running back. There's no doubt about that. But I think in terms of just the dynamic presence of these running backs who are able to catch the ball out of the backfield is where you're going is the reason that the running back position is having a resurgence, because we've talked about, you can do the running back by committee thing. They can get 90% of Ezekiel Elliott's production from two guys that cost them 10% of the money.
Yeah.
You can't. I think the Los Angeles Rams are Super Bowl champs if Todd Gurley was healthy. I think.
Really?
Yeah.
You believe that?
Yeah. I think that they were, like, look at what the Rams were able to do last year. And this is a great example of Ezekiel Elliott. They fucking got old fucking Flipper Anderson, and they plugged him in, and he got, 80% of the fucking what Gurley was able to do on the ground. But what some of these running backs were able to do in terms of breakout ability, the ability to get the ball and go to the house, the ability to line up in the slot, the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. Zeke's fine at it, but he's just not on the level of those other guys. And I think if you're just going to be a downhill back behind a great offensive line, look, get all the money that you want. I say this again as a Giants fan. I hope they give him $25 million a year. But I don't think he's better than either of those guys that they're sandwiching him in between. Now, Le'Veon Bell sat out last year, so hard to say what the fuck's happening. But, like, it's just, in my opinion, a more dynamic player.
I think they're all pretty similar. I think I might actually like to watch Le'Veon the most of those three from a visual standpoint. Zeke is still pretty good out of the backfield to catch balls. But
I'd love to see Ezekiel Elliott's, like, big, long scoring plays last year. I'd like to know how many times, he broke off a 60-plus yard touchdown run.
He only had 6 touchdowns last year. He had 1,434 yards. I mean, he still caught... Dude, he still caught 77 balls for 567 yards.
How many TDs on the receiving end?
Three.
So he had three and six rushing touchdowns?
So he had nine.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to rushing, as far as yardage, his longest run was 41. So he doesn't have the breakaway. The year before, his longest run was 30. The year before was 60. So he doesn't have that. He doesn't have that, you know, I'm just going to break away. But if you compare, and I'll pull it up, I'll pull up Gurley's stats. If you pull them up side by side, Gurley had 59 receptions for 580 yards. He had 77 for 567. So yardage is very similar. Gurley's long was only 36 last year. They're similar. They're pretty similar. So I don't know. Do you want to do dirtball calls?
Is Ezekiel Elliott the best running back in his division?
Well, obviously, I like Saquon better. I've said that.
It just comes from a value state. Like how do you make if you're. I'll just ask you plain simple. You're the Cowboys owner. Do you make Ezekiel Elliott the highest paid running back in football?
No.
So you say, we're not going to pay you that much. Hold out. Do the Le'Veon thing. Leave. We don't care. Goodbye.
I would. That's just me. I think the Cowboys have, I think Jerry Jones has a lot more leverage than Ezekiel Elliott has. I mean, like you said, Gurley went down. Dude, they were still winning. They were getting 100, 150 yards from Anderson. Obviously, he's not as dynamic as Gurley, especially catching the ball out of the backfield. But, dude, if you have a good O-line, guys can play. Especially if Zeke doesn't have the breakaway speed. And he doesn't.
So we agree.
Yeah. I wouldn't pay him.
I'd pay him if I were them. Give him all the monies.
Yeah. Will Patrick Chung play for the Patriots this year?
So he got busted for cocaine possession?
Last June.
Okay.
It's just now coming out. Cocaine possession.
Where did this happen?
Up in New Hampshire where he lives.
Just got picked up a little coke.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, to me... Bill Belichick's kind of a wild card.
That's what I'm saying.
I really don't think that he gives a shit at all. Like, I feel like if Patrick Chung was on the Jets and they cut him because he got busted for cocaine, he'd be a Patriot within days. Like, I feel like Bill Belichick just cares if you can play or not. I mean, for God's sakes, Bill Belichick's even a name we know because of a cocaine-riddled linebacker.
Yeah.
Like, without Lawrence Taylor and cocaine, is Bill Belichick a name that you've ever heard of in your life today? Like, you got to start somewhere. And the somewhere was being the defensive coordinator with the best defensive player ever high on cocaine.
Yeah.
I think Patrick Chung does play for the Patriots this year. But I can't tell you a whole lot about their defensive backfield and its depth charts. But I think if he thinks that he can help the team at all, that he'll play.
Shout out to cocaine making a comeback.
Yeah.
Right? I bet it's everywhere up there. New Hampshire? Bunch of rich white people?
Yeah. When they run out of Adderall, they just go like cocaine. They're like, well, you know, we try to go prescription style when we can. But when in doubt, let's get some Southie guys to bring us some stepped on coke.
Do people snort Adderall?
Yeah, people do.
They do?
Yeah.
I've never tried Adderall, ever. Like, what's the effect? You're just all wired?
Well, you know, I mean, did you ever do any of this, any of those ADD, Ritalin,
no,
any of that stuff?
Never tried them.
I mean, it's supposed to help you kind of lock in if that's your
yeah.
If that's your issue. But then there's people who don't require it, and they just take it for the fucking, for the juice.
Do you want to discuss the Jay-Z thing briefly before we get to dirtball calls?
Sure.
Because I don't really have much of a stance on it. This all happened when we were in Texas.
Yeah.
He has a partnership now with the NFL. He had a meeting and a press conference with Roger Goodell. It wasn't a video live. They took questions. There's been a huge fallback. You know, a lot of people have opinions on it.
So here's the, as far as I can tell, the many issues are that people sort of think Jay-Z has sold out.
Yes.
Right? Because there's some sort of money component to this for Jay-Z. I think the NFL having conversations with any smart, powerful black men about how the NFL treats its players and how the NFL treats the black community is helpful. Do I agree with some people who say, like, why wasn't Colin Kaepernick not a part of this? I'm not saying he has to come in there. It doesn't have to be a Jay-Z song featuring Colin Kaepernick, you know? But, like, why, like, just the idea that Jay-Z didn't go, yeah, the first thing I did is I went and sat down with a guy who prior to me's face has been on the NFL doesn't care about black people campaign, and I talked with him, and then I went and talked with the commissioner. I'm not saying it had to be, but like, it does seem weird to me that Jay-Z wasn't like, hey man, want to pick your brain before I go in.
Yeah.
Like, I've been doing meetings the last couple weeks. You know that.
Sure.
I have called people that I know worked with certain people and said, hey man, what's the deal with this person? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? It seems weird to me, and it would have been an easy sell at the end. It seems easy to me for Jay-Z to go, yeah, dude, I called him. We talked for a half hour. I told him the situation. Then I went and talked to Goodell. Do I think that this means that Jay-Z's a sellout and he's abandoned black people, that he didn't do that and blah, blah, blah? No, I don't think so.
Well,
but listen, like, is Jay-Z not? Jay-Z is a businessman, right? Like,
not a businessman.
Like, he is probably in it for the money. He's been in everything for the money. I don't think he made fucking, you know, S. Dot Carters because he was trying to, like, put shoes on the feet of black men. I think he was trying to sell sneakers. I think he's trying to sell albums.
Well,
he's trying to sell art, sell real estate, whatever business he's been in.
Well, also, we live in this age where everybody wants to make everything black and white. Which is ironic that I use that term for this situation, but it, you know, it's not, is my point. Like, everyone says, oh, it's good, or he's a sellout. Well, can it be something in between?
Right.
Why can't it be something in between?
It is something in between. And I think he could have easily avoided just some of the backlash by just saying, like, yeah, I'm going to have a phone call with the guy who was, like, the NFL is trying to make me the face of this. Why don't I call the guy who the NFL blackballed? And the Colin Kaepernick is the sole reason Jay-Z's current position with the NFL exists.
Sure.
Fact?
Yeah.
So just call the dude.
Yeah.
Call the dude on the phone. And if he says, hey, man, I don't want you doing this because this and this and this, then Jay-Z can say that and say, I'm doing it anyway because I still think this could help people or whatever. But just, it's not that hard to make a fucking phone call.
Yeah, just reach out. I feel ya.
So I think everybody's right.
Very, very strong opinions.
And everybody's wrong, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, this isn't, doesn't have to be this whole, oh. And like, now there's like team beefs, the Kenny Stills, Jay-Z songs, like, just seems weird.
Well, it's kind of like, we see this in politics a lot. If you're a big anti-Donald Trump person, and he does something with that you might actually agree with,
suddenly you don't agree with that thing anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, what? It's confusing. People want to just double and triple down on this one idea or viewpoint, whereas they don't want to see things from a few different angles.
Yeah.
And exactly. That's how I think this is. At the end of the day, people have forgotten. Jay-Z supposedly had turned down previous Super Bowl performances. Let's not forget that.
Right.
No one's talking about that. So my argument would be, if Jay-Z turned down money and exposure to perform at the Super Bowl within the last couple of years, maybe this isn't 100% about money. Maybe he is trying to do something good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But, well, when he turns down a Super Bowl appearance and his wife goes and does it anyway, like, they still got the check, man.
Okay, fair enough.
Right? Like,
yeah, good point. Fair enough. I just, this idea of like, fuck Jay-Z, he's an ultimate sellout, I'll never listen to his music again, is like, what? And you are right, dude. Business rules at the end of the day.
Jay-Z has never really been shy about it. Like, he has a song called Tom Ford.
Yeah.
Like, he does commercials for people.
Yeah.
Like, he has always.
Sure.
And that's fine. And also, if his popularity from his music career and his whatever is what is the reason they reach out to him and they say, hey, you know, we watched you on the Letterman thing. We've seen interviews with you. You're a smart guy. You're in touch with, you know, the black community. Seems like you could be somebody to help us. Okay. This is interesting.
Yeah.
I'm in. Just call Colin Kaepernick. Just call him.
Yeah, I agree. Give him a call. You know, I'm all about strong business relationships, Prano. I'm all about them, especially when it comes to Brooklinen. You get those sheets yet?
Where Brooklinen at?
I was hoping you would do that. I was hoping you would do that. We're talking about Jay-Z from Brooklinen. That is where these sheets come from. This is true. A husband and wife from Brooklyn. This is all true. Created Brooklinen sheets, which I love. They sent us an amazing whole set from sheets to pillowcases to duvet covers. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yeah.
Love them. So soft. I went with the graphite color. What'd you get?
I got a box situation, like a checkered.
Ooh.
Situation. Yeah. I don't remember the exact name.
Well, they got 12 beautiful linen colors and patterns to choose from. Guys, it's in their name, so you know it's good. Brooklinen's newest linen collection is amazing. I couldn't recommend their products more. For graduates, newlyweds, friends or family, or treating yourself to the bedroom upgrade you deserve. Dirtballs, if you need new sheets, and I know a lot of you savages do, I've met you guys. You're living like complete and utter degenerates. The sheet game at Brooklinen will upgrade your life. Simply go to brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. They're giving an exclusive offer just for the Dirtballs. Get 10% off and free shipping when you use promo code DIRTY at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. Jay-Z has 99 problems, but you know what one of them won't be? That lifetime warranty, because you have it for life. The only way to get 10% off and free shipping is to use promo code DIRTY at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code DIRTY. Brooklinen, these are the best sheets ever. And I can vouch for that. I have used sheets from other brands I'm not going to say. The Brooklinen has totally stepped up my game. And you could
they're
say
the sheets.
You could say I'm crazy in love with them.
See what you did there? And I don't like it.
You ready to get some Dirtball calls?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's throw on those headphones, fam. That's our intro song. Classic Ruther. You know what? Forget the Dirtball Calls intro song, because I don't know where it's at. All right, let's get to the actual calls, Prano. We got a few. Where do we want to start? Okay, well, we'll start with this one. This is a good, easy start.
What's up, guys? It's Randy, number one, Fort Lewis, Dirtball. Sorry, I'm kind of drunk right now. You know, Army life makes you an alcoholic.
Army life.
But I was just wondering, do you guys have, like, a favorite, broadcaster, or, like, sportscaster, and, like a phrase or whatever that they say? Like, mine, personally, is Mike Breen. Whenever he's announced basketball and he says, like, the bang thing. Like, I love, like, when someone hits, like, a clutch three. And, like, for example, like, Curry. Like, he's like, Curry, bang! I love that shit. I just wanted to know if there's anybody that you guys love hearing call games. And, like, if they have, like, a certain thing that they say that you guys love. Anyways, stay dirty, boys. Bye.
I know we've done this before.
Yeah.
Because I've said I like Marv Albert. Yes. But you don't like that.
It's fine. I'm a Marv Albert yes fan. I love Mike Breen bang. It's great. I mean, Bill Walton throwing it down. Throw it down is great. I'm biased, but I love Gary Cohen, who's the Mets broadcaster. It's out of here. It's a very similar feel to Mike Breen bang. It's just like, it's the raising of the level until the, it's out of here! Kind of loses it. It's very Mike Breen bangish. Those are, yeah, I guess.
Anything Gus Johnson.
Gus Johnson is great. Yeah. Rise and fire.
My name's Al Harrington. Was that it?
Yeah.
And I get buckets.
The Kiss. That's, what's his name on?
With a Kiss, Bill Raftery.
Raftery.
That's a good one.
The Kiss.
With a Kiss. Onions.
Onions is good.
He also says onions. That's a good one. Yeah, those are all good ones. All right, let's get to some shade towards me.
Okay.
What's up, guys? Corbin from Colorado. I just want to call in on hate on Andy for a little bit. I'm just so confused on why he got so salty with Perks in the Dak Prescott episode. I was just like, dude. Like, Perks is by far the best intern the Dirty Sports has had. I'm sorry, Shabelli. I'm sorry, Trevor. I'm sorry, EJ. I think that was his name. I don't even know that one. But Perks by far is the best intern that we've had, and all Andy does is hate on him, you know? You just hate to see things like that. Anyways, stay dirty.
That's just not true, first of all. This is not true at all. I don't just hate on him. Do I mock his ridiculous eating habits and his ridiculous love of the claw? Yeah, I do. It's also a show, bro. Like, can we just be honest?
Yeah, let's talk about it. You
like, we do things for entertainment value.
But you also, there's definitely a Andy versus the intern, no matter who the intern is. Like, you've always attacked the interns.
Yeah, I have fun with it.
Right? You created an entire game to mock Shabelli. You and Trevor were like an old married couple. Like,
no, you and I are more like an old married couple.
You and Trevor go to the mats. EJ escaped your wrath simply because Trevor was around. So EJ got a little bit of love from you because you were just battling Trevor.
EJ was here four episodes.
Right. And then
I'm good with Aaron. I've already said Aaron does an amazing job. He knows this. I tell him that. And I agree with Corbin. He's done a better job than any intern as far as his work ethic, how organized he is, how meticulous he is with giving me notes from the show. Yeah, I've never knocked that. I wish he was here. I tried to get him here, but he's in school again.
Mm-hmm.
So he had class. No, I bust his balls. Yeah, dude, are his eating habits ridiculous? Yeah. I'm going to make fun of him for that. Just like I was busting Nick D'Alessandro's balls a little, you know, over the trip for some of the things he... Like, I'm a ball buster, you know? But it doesn't mean I also don't give him positive feedback. What is this look you're giving me, Vrano? You're just giving me this death stare.
I'm just saying. I think you have. I think it's part of the Andy Reuther thing. Is like, you're gonna bring in when it's me and you. You know, it's certainly we certainly go back and forth, but we've talked about it. Like even when we deal with Dirtballs, you'll be like, Dirtballs say shit to me that I say to you, and it pisses you off, and rightfully so, because I've known you for 10 years. And I can say some shit to you that they can't. I think that you enjoy getting an intern in here, having the intern in so that when the shit starts running downhill, that there's another man under you.
Yeah, I wouldn't deny that. I love ball busting, for sure. You know.
So you feel like you owe Twerks an apology?
No, not at all. And also, Aaron's great, and he takes it. He handles it great. And you know, we both come from bigger families. That's how it works, dude. You ball bust with siblings, and that's how I look at it. It doesn't come from a mean intent. Intent is important here, guys. My shit with fucking Trevor, yeah, probably fucking mean. I'm not going to deny that. Like, with Aaron, it's just ball busting. He knows he does a great job. I know he does a great job. I tell him that.
Say you love Trevor. Just say Trevor. Just look right in the camera and say, Trevor, I love you. And you should drink whatever you want.
Trevor?
Aaron, sorry. You probably owe Trevor.
Yeah, I love Aaron, of course. I love Twerks. And he can drink whatever he wants. It doesn't mean I'm still not going to bust his balls. You know. I mean, this whole notion that we can't bust balls a little. If I was constantly a dick to him,
right,
it'd be different. Man. I don't even know what was said that episode.
I don't either.
It was the episode. It was the one before Sean Merriman came on.
Yeah.
So it would have been last two episodes ago. I don't fucking know. Anyway, let's play another call.
Hey, what's up, boys? Sounds like you got a good time in Texas. Just wanted to call it up. So is Reuther going to attach the L chain to a butt plug and kind of have it dangling out like a little lucky rabbit's paw from a manifold? Or I'm just curious. I don't, you know, yeah. How do you fit something up there like that? Are you going to be shitting pancakes for the rest of your life after this, Reuther? Or I don't know. Stay dirty, boys.
Okay. What else we got?
The reason I'm playing that, that's Kuchmeier, who also wants us to come down to
Anaheim.
I guys, again, I'm confident. We went over this last episode. Odell needs four straight 1,500-yard seasons to tie him.
Well, yeah. But that, I mean, that's sort of saying that he's playing four more seasons and that AB's done now, which he's probably not neither true for either one of them.
Exactly. Who we got next? Okay. Zach Olmstead has left a few calls. I don't know. It's so dirty. I almost want to play the one they left about Riley Reid. She's a porn star. But it's,
all right. Play it.
It's so dirty.
It's so dirty. How?
I think. I don't
Let's
remember.
Let's just play it.
Okay.
You have it on the rundown.
But he left another one.
Okay.
Yo, I just called this LaGoy again.
Hold on. They're hammered.
Yo, Jerry.
Yo, we're calling from way down south, down St. New York, I guess. I was just wondering, what does Riley Reid's back tattoo mean? Like, I go to bed at night, and I just look at her back after I jerk off, and I watch her get fucking plowed out by BBC, and I'm just like, what does her back tattoo mean? Like, I just sit and ponder all night, and I was just wondering what you guys think about, what do you think Riley Reid's back tattoo means? Like, there's a lot of mysteries in the world. There's, like, we wonder how, like, JFK got shot, and we wonder, like, what sunk the Titanic, but, like, we don't, like, sit here and we don't debate what Riley Reid's back tattoo means, and I'm just wondering, like, there's a lot of great mysteries in the world, like, fuck aliens, and like, I speak Japanese, bitch, fuck Joe Rogan's podcast, because it's fucking, like,
whoa,
it's the same thing, but, like, what does Riley Reid's back tattoo mean?
new growth space.
I know what it means. You guys don't know what Google is. Riley Reed's back tattoo.
It literally, if you put it in, if you just put Riley Reed's back tattoo, the first thing is from May 5th, 2017. What does Riley Reed's back tattoo mean?
When life gives you lemons.
Make lemonade.
Yeah.
I mean.
And he's the smartest dirtball. We were discussing how smart Olmstead is. Prano was letting me know how smart you are. And then you leave this call? That upstate New York crew. Yardley, Olmstead, Eckerd, is that the crew?
Yeah, and Lagoy.
And Lagoy.
Wild. 315 crew. Gang, gang. They don't have Google on 315.
Apparently not. All right, motivational speech.
Okay.
Here's the question.
What's up, John and Andy? Ethan here, number one after ball from State College. And I just saw that Stephen A. Smith went to Alabama to give the football team a motivational speech. And that was kind of funny to me that that's the guy that they're bringing in to give guys motivation. But, like, whatever. So my question for you guys is, if you guys could bring in, so let's say you guys were coaching a team, obviously, Joe, you coach baseball. Let's say you got to bring in a guy to speak to your team. Who are you bringing in? That's a question for you guys. Condoms are for Sam Tripoli and obviously Joe Bartnick.
The Bartnick diss. I like Bartnick. Leave Joe Bartnick alone.
Free Joe Bartnick from the dirtball grasp. Who was the first condoms are for Joe Bartnick? Was that what's his name? Fucking Jersey kid? Jersey tyke?
I think it was Bruder.
Yeah. Make America Great Again. Fucking Bruder was, by the way, if anybody doesn't remember the name Bruder, Bruder was one of the original hockey correspondents. He was also the kid in the MAGA hat who was grinning in the face of that Native American down in
I think it was it Jake DC. Bruder?
Yeah, Jake Bruder.
I think he started the condoms are for.
Bruder Brothers. Motivational speech. So who's giving a motivational
speech? Are we talking legit?
Yeah, I guess so.
Dude, David Goggins, man. Which I know he went to Alabama. You know, that's my guy. He's nuts.
This is a guy who's just like, I used to be fat, and I started working out. You could be fucking not fat, too.
Yeah, but I know he gave a speech to Alabama's team last year. He's up there for me. Dude's nuts. I think a lot of those type of people are good. That maybe aren't sports. That are just like wild dudes.
How about trying to think of like the great fucking, you know, pump up speeches that we've heard over the years. Like, well, I'll tell you who's last on the list. Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston's the very last person I would pick to motivate. How about Joe Kane from the program?
Good dive there.
Good dive?
Deep dive. Joe Kane from the program. Ray Lewis makes me laugh. Everyone talks about how good he is. I would just laugh.
Yeah.
You can, if you watch a bunch of Ray Lewis's speeches, you can almost see the smirks from guys like a Joe Flacco.
Yeah. We're like, what the fuck is happening
like,
here?
Like, dude, chill out. You know, they talk about Breeze a lot. Breeze doesn't get me his turn. I'll be honest, man. We've been critical of Hard Knocks. I like Gruden's speeches, though.
He's okay. He's okay. He's like, it's just too much of a dichotomy of a personality where he's like, oh, hey, you're grinding out there today. Oh, grind, like you're balding and you're grinding and you're whatever. He's like, ah, fucking play hard. And you're like, what the fuck? I thought everybody was cool here. And then he's like, we need to be fucking better. Knock on wood if you're with me. You're like, are you manic depressive? Like, what? Are you bipolar? Like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
He's like too nice, and then he's swearing at you. Which, look, it's a move. I get it. It's a move. I almost think like the cool motivation's like even better. Like everybody always talks about the Joe Montana and the Super Bowl with the John Candy thing. Just put everybody at ease. Like, it's fucking, it's just football, guys. Who gives a shit? Let's go.
I wonder what kind of speeches Belichick gives. They're not going to be rah-rah.
No.
Just do your fucking job.
Yeah.
Like that type of thing.
Yeah.
I bet he's great for that, though. It's cool, but it's also very direct and frank. I'm trying to think of some other ones. I'm thinking NBA right now.
I always had a pretty straightforward approach to, I mean, baseball's not a real rah-rah fucking sport, but I always had a pretty low-key approach, kind of Belichickian, like, do your job, you know. You win, you get ice cream. You lose, you get ice cream. But if you lose, you're just fucking losers eating ice cream. So don't be losers eating ice cream, you know. It's just fucking be the winners.
Yeah.
Just go out there and be better than they are. Ready? Go.
All right, 310-359-8365. That is the hotline. We're back here for a minute, right? Are you in San Diego coming up?
Yeah, but I won't miss any episodes of the Dirty Sports Podcast.
Gotcha. Ugh. All right. iTunes reviews, if you leave your handle for Instagram or Twitter, we will send you 2 koozies in the mail. Thanks to everybody leaving those iTunes reviews. Same thing for sending a screenshot of any of our promo codes. I will send you 2 koozies. And my apologies. I wish I had koozies. I didn't pack any. I would love to give them out to everybody on the trip down in Texas. But you know what? If you were a dirtball, how about this, Joe? If you were a dirtball in Texas and you don't have koozies and you met us out, just DM me.
Yeah.
I'd love to send you guys some koozies. It's the least I can do for you guys almost having Joe miss his flight for being fucking so.
We didn't even come close to missing our flight.
I know. You were in bad shape, though.
Yeah. And I survived.
I know. I was concerned.
I didn't throw up. I didn't pass out. I was fine.
Yeah.
It's all good.
I'm all for it. You got to take 2 for the team. I get it. It's not easy. Joe, on Instagram and Twitter.
At Joe Prano on Instagram, at Fix Your Life on Twitter, joeprano.com for shows, San Diego Comedy Store in La Jolla with Eddie Ift. I believe that's the 6th, 7th, 8th of September. So just a couple weeks away. But lots of shows between now and then in L.A. if you're a Southern California dirtball. And then, yeah, that's it.
Cool. At Andy Ruther, Twitter, Instagram, at The Dirty Sports. Guys, if you are still listening, give us a follow on Instagram, please. I noticed Dirtballs we literally just met just started following The Dirty Sports Instagram. Blinking guy meme.
And I know you stuffed my play-by-play call or my color call into the last episode. I put video that Nick D'Alessandro synced up with my Walton portion of that call on my Instagram. So if you go back and check out, 2 posts ago on my Instagram, you can see me doing Walton in that clip.
Yeah. So check it out. Go check it out on Joe's Instagram. All right, Dirtballs, that is the show. Have a great weekend. And most importantly, stay dirty.